Today's scripture is from Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 20, the birth of John the Baptist foretold. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for their Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
What if you bow your heads and pray for me and with me? Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be acceptable to you. You, O Lord, are our strength and our redeemer, and we turn to you. We are starting a new season of the year, Lord, in Advent. Fill us. Fill us with your power and your presence and the promise of the coming Messiah. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I find that most years people are excited to put up their Christmas decorations. In some homes, there's a battle about when we will get the boxes up from the basement or down from the attic and how soon that can happen, and some want it sooner and some want it later, but most, I think, want their homes and spaces ready for guests or family or friends who may sit at our tables. Maybe a party will be thrown, or perhaps you just want that for your own enjoyment. Perhaps you just want something simple, but you want to see some lights and you want to look at a tree of some sort, and maybe you just want to smell cookies in your kitchen for yourself. But every so often, there are years and there are people and there are situations that just lead to wanting to put everything off. Some years it can be hard to get excited. Maybe family aren't visiting this year. Maybe you've been caring for a loved one and that affords little time or energy for preparations, and quite frankly, the whole thing feels a little overwhelming. I'm thinking about preparations this week. I'm thinking about this old priest, Zechariah. I'm thinking about the preparations he had to make to go into the holiest space of the temple. He was chosen by lot. You know what that is? They have these sticks of different sizes. And in the Bible, this was done where if you had to make an important decision, but you wanted to have a sense that God was in on it, that God made the choice, you would draw lots. Now, they must have had a system because there were literally thousands of priests who could have gone to the back of the temple that day to light the incense. But precisely because there were thousands of priests, it was possible that you could go your whole career and never get the honor one time. And so they drew lots, and the lot fell to Zechariah, this older priest. And then there were preparations to be made. I say there were preparations to be made. I mean, primarily he's lighting incense and he's praying a prayer. The prayer that he has to pray is for the redemption of the nation. It's the prayer for the coming of the Messiah. It's that prayer that hopes that one day Rome will no longer be in power. It's that prayer that all the things you wish you could fix, God's going to fix. It's that prayer that gets said in the back by the priest. And there's the lighting of incense, but undoubtedly there was a lot more to it than that. The same way that the phrase, "we're putting up the Christmas decorations," does not quite describe how much time and effort is going into that. In Scripture, incense is associated with prayer. In Psalm 142, David says, "May my prayer be set before you like incense." And so as Zechariah went back into the very holy space, this back part, you're not even sure what's back here, are you? Some of you are thinking, I may go back there soon. You can, but not in the temple. You couldn't have. Only the priest went. So there would have been, I imagine, some priest who would have given him the instructions, because let me tell you something about pastors. They love giving instructions. Hold your hands this way. Don't do it that way. Make sure this, do that. Just all the, and he would have gone alone. He has that prayer for the redemption of the nation. And for 400 years, for 400 years, no prophet. Ever since the last prophet spoke, no word from God. And so that prayer for the redemption of Israel, that's an important prayer. But Zechariah has a second prayer. And it's a prayer so dear to him and to his wife Elizabeth that I think he just had to pray it. It's a prayer so important to him because he's been praying this prayer day after day after day, and month after month, and year after year, and finally when he draws the lot and he gets to go in the most sacred space, you know he's going to say that prayer, whether they tell him to, or maybe even if they tell him not to. You know what the prayer is? It's for a child. Just one child. Just a child. But year after year, Elizabeth never becomes pregnant. And it is the dearest space in their hearts. And so when the old priest heads back, my goodness, after all this time, it's a little bit like the 400 years. I mean, he and Elizabeth have gotten to an age where if that prayer is answered, they're going to start calling them Abraham and Sarah. Because they're older now. They're kind of past the season when you're having children. And people are going to talk about it, about can you believe and all that. And so I don't know if it's despite that or because of that, that when Zechariah goes to the back, to that holy space, he takes his two prayers. And when he gets back there and he prays this prayer and he looks up, there's an angel. And it freaks him out a little bit. Like he's startled, he's scared, and he's afraid because when they told him the instructions about how to light the incense, nobody said, and then there will be an angel. Nobody said that. And so he's a little upset. He doesn't know what to do. And the angel says, fear not, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Do you have a prayer? Do you have that prayer? that you feel like God hadn't heard. Sometimes that prayer has a name. Sometimes that prayer is a situation. Sometimes that prayer is like the Apostle Paul, who said, I had a thorn in my flesh, and I prayed, and I prayed. And today Zechariah speaks to an angel, and the angel says, the Lord has heard your prayer. But what's odd is, he didn't say one prayer. He said what? Two. So the question becomes, which prayer? So I was reading something that Nancy Ortberg wrote. She's an author and a pastor. And she said, when you look at the verb tense and the way it's written, what the angel is saying is, hey, God's out here at work in the world, and God's at work in the nation of Israel, and there's that prayer for the redemption of Israel, and then there's this prayer for your child, and what God's done is God's going to give one answer to both of them. And your child is going to prepare the way. And the angel says, you are going to love this. Because there are three things this child's going to do. He will be, read with me, a joy and a, come on, what parent does not want to hear that? Amen? And many will rejoice because of his birth. But here's the even better news, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. And nothing mattered more to Elizabeth and Zechariah, who were righteous people. I'm not talking about being that he will be great in the sight of men and women. That's not what this says. Zechariah could care less about what people thought, but he did care about what the Lord thought. And then the angel goes on, he says, Zechariah, your work as a priest, your son is going to bring so many people back to the Lord their God. Because, you know, after 400 years of silence, people start to wander a little bit. Have you ever noticed that? I notice that. I'm a pastor. I notice that. People wander a little bit. You know, they don't have the time. Things change. But they're going to come back. But this third thing is really interesting to me. He says, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. That's that great, great prophet of Israel. And he will turn the hearts of the parents to their children. Now think about that for a minute. He'll turn the hearts of the parent toward their children. You know when things have gotten really bad in your family? When the heart of the parent is not naturally fixed on the child. I don't just mean neglect. I mean parents that are worn out because they've tried and tried, but nothing's changing. There are lots of ways that the heart of the parent is no longer turned to the child. But Gabriel says, John is going to speak to people in such a way that everybody's going to turn back to their families, and the disobedient will turn to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people so that when the Messiah appears, when the Lord appears, everybody's going to be what? They're going to be ready. They're going to be ready. It's about preparations. It's about being ready. It's about, what do we do to be ready? Every hope you've got for Advent and Christmas is in this text. I mean, isn't that what you want? Your family to come home and everybody's hearts turn toward each other. Isn't that what you want? The people in your life who are just foolish. I mean, it's not that they're bad. It's not that they're horrible. It's just that they're just foolish because of the way they live their lives. You've got people you pray for like that, I hope. My goodness, if you don't have somebody in your life who you pray for because of foolishness, you need to meet more people. God needs to expand your horizon. I mean, if you're one of these shiny people that everybody in your world has got their act together, well, go meet somebody. I'll introduce you to my friends. I've got a few. Just the thought that all that could happen. But Zechariah, he's still stuck back at the beginning. I mean, Zechariah didn't even take it all this in. It's amazing that he remembered enough of it to tell somebody to write it down later, because his brain is still stuck. And he's looking at the angel. He's like, okay, could we go back to the part where my wife becomes pregnant again? And he says this. This is really an interesting phrase that he uses. He says, how can I be sure of this? And the angel's like, I'm an angel. My name is Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God Almighty. I love that. I stand in the presence of God Almighty. And you can just hear Gabriel say, it's just like, I know you've never been to the back before, and they may not have told you, but if there's an angel back here, that is the sign. That's all the sign you're getting. But it's hard to feel bad about that question, because he's got this old worn out prayer and he's just been hoping on hope for all these years that God might hear him. And isn't it true that when something begins to turn that you've been praying for, it's almost like you've been praying for it to happen, and in that moment you can't even believe that it might happen because you don't want to experience the pain of the silence again. Have you ever had that experience? You know, I was so hard on Zechariah when I started this sermon. I always write a theme sentence. I try to. It helps discipline me. You wouldn't know that, but it does. And the theme sentence was something like, because this sermon series is what if. What if Zechariah wouldn't, what's the thing, the title? What if Zechariah wouldn't have doubted, would have believed? What if Zechariah would have believed? And I wrote, if Zechariah would have believed, he could have given voice to hope. And you know, I began to really live with this and study it. And I thought, shame on you, Tom Berlin, being so judgmental about somebody in the Bible. This old man that's been showing up, praying his prayer year after day after day and week after week and year after year, and you're going to judge him and talk about, oh, Zechariah should have given voice to the goodness of God, blah, blah, blah. And then I thought to myself, what if it's different? Because people ask Elizabeth later, they said, hey, how was it having your husband silent during your entire 9 months of pregnancy? And she said, not bad, not bad at all. Really? She said, I miss it some days. I mean, it just does sound so punitive, because Gabriel says, hey, because you have asked for a sign, no voice. Just sounds so punitive. That's why I was being judgmental. It's not my fault. It's the angels. No, actually, Lord, have mercy. I'll have 9 months. That might be good for all of us. But here's the deal. I wonder if the silence wasn't a gift to Zechariah. I wonder if the silence wasn't a gift, for after all those years, he was the priest. He was telling people that the Lord was with them, even though all they heard was silence from God. There was no prophet in the land, and no Messiah had come. Zechariah encouraged people. He encouraged people as a priest to have hope in the Lord when they endured hardship, when their children died of disease, when the Romans invaded the country and oppressed them. Zechariah did the talking and the singing and the praying. And God was so silent while Zechariah spoke. And Zechariah said in those days, God is here. God has not forgotten us. What a gift to finally be silent as God begins to speak. You know, when you're happy, and God bless you, I hope you're happy this morning. I hope you've got all the decorations up. I hope when you turn on the lights, it's just unbelievable. I really do. I'm like that. I hope you've got all the Christmas spirit you can stand, and I hope that when you talk to other people and sing the songs of the season, you do it with joy and hope, because God knows we need all we can get. But when people are in harder times, when the prayers are not being answered, then putting up decorations can feel both false and insincere. And there are years when you just don't have many words. And in that time, silence is a welcome friend. Silence is a comforting presence. Zechariah is given the gift of resting in the Lord. Do you know that phrase, I'm going to rest in the Lord? Do you know that phrase? She used more in African-American Christian traditions. I'm going to rest in the Lord. The hymns and old spirituals about resting in the Lord. I'm just curious, just raise your hand if you've ever even heard the phrase, I'm going to rest in the Lord. So some of us have, but not that many. And it's different from praying. Resting in the Lord is a way of doing something faithful even as you hold your doubts. It's a way of holding on to joy even when you feel a lament. Rather than having guilt about your lament, rather than feeling like you're a failure of faith, you just rest in the Lord. You just close your mouth. Peace be still. That's what Jesus said to the storm. It's like when you go to bed at night and you close your eyes and you know something that you don't think about. When I wake up in the morning, it's still going to be spinning. When I wake up in the morning, somewhere the paper has been prepared and somewhere the coffee is already ready. And if during the night, right before you close your eyes, if during the night I need those emergency services, those people are out there. They're out there. They're already awake. They're waiting in case they're needed. And so you can rest. You can rest because you don't have to be in control. And it's going to be okay. You do it every night. I want you to think about what it would be like in a time of hardship to rest in the Lord, knowing that God is still at work, knowing that you don't have to have everything under control, knowing that sometimes the greatest act of faith is to embrace the silence. That Zechariah, I just wonder if it didn't feel like a gift, that rest, that trusting, because it's not the silence of sullenness. It's not anger that is quiet or the silence of defeat. It's the silence of rest. It's not like the locker room after you lose the game. It's the silence when you finally hear the child go to sleep. Even though you can't hear what God has in mind, you can still rest and through that rest be restored. I saw an old friend this past week who retired recently, and not long after his retirement, there was this just terrible tragedy in his family. And now he and his wife are raising their grandchildren. And it's so good that they can do that. It's so good that he's retired. It's so good. But he's, I don't know, I bet he's about 70 now. And they've got two teenagers and one that's not yet a teenager. It's just not exactly what he planned. He was showing me pictures of his grandchildren. We were in Richmond, and I was thinking about his story after he sat back down and I started this meeting up that we were in, and I just kept looking across at him just thinking, what faith, what deep faith. And I know that he carries this tattered, old, unanswered prayer, not because of how long he's held it, but because how fervently he's prayed it. The prayer is probably, how could this tragedy have happened to people I love? How? Sometimes that prayer that you have is one word. How? But what I know about him is he rests in the Lord. He rests in the Lord. He's there in the silence. And that's what allows him to get up every morning and to say, okay, we're going to school. It's amazing what people do, isn't it? Because of love. We bring our doubts and our old worn-out prayers into the sanctuary during Advent, just like Zechariah did. It should be a joyful space. It should have lights. It should be wonderful. And yet, we should not believe that we don't bring our old worn-out prayers into the sanctuary like Zechariah did. There is nothing wrong with that. There is everything right with that. Fears that those we love won't get well or the friend won't recover. Fears about the world and the environment. Fears about the foolish decisions that people you love are making because they don't see the righteousness of the people of God. One of our greatest fears this time of year is a silly fear. It's the fear that we won't experience Christmas with the joy we long to have, precisely because we are preoccupied with what the old carol calls the hopes and fears of all the years that are met in the promised coming and second coming of Christ. And so I say to you all, during this busy and jubilant season, rest in the Lord. Be willing to be silent. But do that terribly hard thing to do. Trust that God is at work in the silence, doing what you cannot do. You can trust that God hears your prayers, that God knows your longings of your heart, and that God still loves you even when everything isn't as it should be. Zechariah rested in the Lord, and it did something good to him. For those 9 months, he didn't say a blessed thing. He didn't encourage anybody. He didn't tell anybody in his family what they should do or what they might think about or anything else. He just was silent until the moment when he heard the cry of a newborn son, and then a dam broke in his throat and words of praise just flowed right out. You can read them for yourself in the Gospel of Luke. It's in that first chapter. Read Zechariah's song. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and he has redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of a certain servant David, and thus he has shown the mercy that was promised to our ancestors. He has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham to grant us, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, that we might serve him without fear and holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on and prepare the ways of the Lord to give knowledge to salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins, by the tender mercy of our God. The dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in the darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Oh, friends, if you can sing the hymns of praise and the glorious songs of joy, by all means, sing them and sing them loud for the people around you who can't quite give them voice this year. If you have words of joy and laughter, by all means, bring it. But if you cannot, then I encourage you just to rest in the Lord without guilt, without wondering what's wrong with you. Because it is also a season to be silent. It is also a season to be still. But make sure while you are silent and still that you are looking and listening. Let your silence allow you to look around you and see if the Lord is beginning to do what you have asked in your silence. For one day, your eyes will see God at work. One day, you will see the redemption for which you have asked in those worn and tattered prayers, and then the light will break in even on you as it has on others, and in that moment, may you, like the old priest Zechariah, open your mouth and speak to those who still sit in their own darkness. For those who still reside in the shadow of death, go to them and give them a word of goodness and hope that soon the tender mercy of our God that has been at work in your life shall be at work in theirs as well. Because when we no longer say our words of hope, why are we surprised when the world in sorrow lays? You are the angel. You are the evangelist. You are the one who proclaims the mighty acts of God to those who wait, even if only piece of good news you've got is, it shall happen in the appointed time, which is already in the mind of God. So great is the Lord's love for you. Amen.